Let me call the meeting to order. This is the joint meeting of the City of Moral Bay, Cayuga Sanitary District Wastewater Treatment Plant Technical Advisory Committee. I'm Matt Baxley from Moral Bay. With me is Betty Winholtz, council member from Cayuga's, and Bud McHale. Our first order of business is public comment. If there's anyone in the audience who would like to speak to the issues on the agenda here, please come forward.
Good morning, Marla Topetan, North Moral Bay Ocean Outfall Group. And I believe we're discussing loads and flows and loads at this meeting. And I believe that that is also a quintessential part of the plans that we're making for the upgrade to the plant. Ocean Outfall Group believes that the capacity at 1.2 that we now have at the Moral Bay plant is under capacity. And the upgrade, it's curious to us that Corolla had to estimate Cayuga's flow by counting laterals and locks. There's an issue with Cayuga's, their monitoring system until 2004. Well, actually, Dave Phillips, who just resigned after a fraud claim that was presented to Moral Bay for flows and capacity. Dave Phillips was the, I guess, the manager of the collections and street. Dave Phillips also at one time worked for Cayuga Sanitary District. And we believe that when he was there that the flows, they were being competently looked at. However, when Richard Sadowski worked there, he took the flow monitors down to LA to have them calibrated. He found out that one of the flow meters didn't work at all. And when he brought the meters back, the CSD, Mr. Innes, the president, wanted the numbers to stay low. The new monitors bumped the levels up a little bit. I'd like to say also at the 4th of July that lift station number 5, which is under Cayuga Sanitary District's field of operation, that there was 900,000 gallons piped on the 4th of July from Cayuga's to Moral Bay. Now, with the 1.2 million gallon capacity, and we have the entire west of Moral Bay on 4th of July, which are the peak loads, load times. It's just, we're in a quandary to where this, also I would like to say that Cayuga Sanitary District on the 4th of July puts, I'm not sure, 50 to 100 honey huts. So this 900,000 gallons was with honey huts being utilized, and then they have Al's septic tank pump the honey huts, and until this year, they would, over the course of the next 2 or 3 days, empty those honey huts into the Cheney line. This year, I believe they switched from Moral Bay, and Al's honey huts took the sewage up to San Simeon to dump. So, also, Bill Boucher was asked if they opened the North Moral Bay two valves that are on the ocean side here when Wallace was doing the flow study. And he was asked by a city council member, and he said no, that they weren't opened, and we know for a fact that they were open. So I'd like us to get this right, because it's a really big, important piece of the puzzle that we're doing here. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else in the public for public comment? Seeing none, we'll come back to our agenda. The second chapter 6 regulations, chapter 7 rehabilitation, and chapter 3 we're going to discuss today, which is loads and flows. Bruce?
I think we took this, we brought this item before the subcommittee so that we have the council and district board have a chance to talk to the engineers from Corella to get a level of comfort with the numbers they provided. They have an agenda that we can walk through, and I would suggest we just turn it over to Mr. Stringfield.
Mr. Stringfield. When it's green, it's good.
Okay, and I was trying to make it green. It is now green. We put together an agenda that has the same subjects, and we thought we would just see if there are any questions on these. The purpose of the meeting is to discuss flows and loads, projections for both Morro Bay and Cayucas, as well as any follow-up questions that you might have on the other chapters that we've already delivered. The first subject was the regulations chapter, which we felt was fairly straightforward, being that we've all been working on the new permit. We've become intimately familiar with regulations. And so at this time, you have the regulations chapter that was given to you over a month ago, actually 2 months ago, and we supplemented that at the last meeting with a little supplement on the air quality regulations. So I think that covers all the regulations that we believe that you have to address. And so at this time, are there any questions on the regulations that we need to follow up on? Is my only. Yeah.
I have a couple. On page 6-5, okay, let's see if I find my place. My fingers and all these. How about 6-7? Up at the chart, the water quality objectives for Toro Creek. Are these standards set by the water board or just our objectives according to regulations?
These are set by the basin plan that you operate under, yes. Yeah, they're set by the regional board, yes.
Okay, so it's a plan that's been approved that we abide by.
Yes.
And when it talks about the difference between Choro Creek and the Choro Basin, then that's if we shoot the effluent into the ground on the bottom, or if we put it into the creek on the top.
Right. One, yes, one is for surface water discharge, and the other is to protect the ground.
I got the impression from the text, and so this is my interpretation that's at fault here, I think, is that if we put it into the creek, that would have higher regulations than if we shoot it into the groundwater, but this chart shows just the opposite. Is that right?
Well, I mean, look, this chart shows that...
That's right. But it is.
That Choro Creek chlorides will be substantially lower than if you put it in the groundwater.
And last night the question came up about... With CMC now using Choro Creek for their tertiary, how will that impact us?
Correct me if I'm wrong, Eric. But right now there is no mass emission rate on Choro Creek. So right now you just have to meet concentrations.
Mm-hmm.
Sometime in the future, sometime in the future, they may end up being a mass where even though it says 50 milligrams per liter for chloride,
mm-hmm.
That will be your maximum concentration. But they may, in fact, cap you at a certain number of pounds of chloride. But that so far, that has not happened. Right now, that's what you have to mean.
So if CMC comes online before we will,
I'm sorry to interrupt, but they are discharging right now.
Okay.
It's,
from their old plant, isn't it?
Yeah. When they come online, it may be a little bit better. But just for your reference, what is being built at CMC does not remove total dissolved solids, does not remove chloride, does not remove sulfate, maybe a little bit, does not remove boron, does not sodium. It does remove nitrogen, but right now there's no limit on that. But our treatment plants don't take salt out. Salt passes mm-hmm. right through these treatment plants. So, mm-hmm. what's happening at CMC now is probably what's going to, you're not going to see much difference as far as these constituents.
So just to clarify, the old plant is currently at CMC, is currently using Choral Creek. The new plant will also use Choral Creek, but it will probably have a different numbers that go into the creek because it'll be a newer plant, right, at tertiary level. So so just pretending that their numbers are similar to ours, they will meet their standard, which they probably don't now. Or with that doesn't matter. It doesn't matter because that's their thing with the water board. It doesn't matter whether or not they're meeting their standard. Mm-hmm. But what we don't know is if the water board will want to put a cap on the two of us dumping into
combined,
the
combined, yes. Right. We do not know that, and I have not asked them that. And then, well, it's not my... I'm not investigating that, so I'm not the right person to talk about that.
Okay, but someone in your Corolla will look into that because it's part of regulations?
No. Right now, we've put this in our report for information, but we are not looking at anything dealing with Choral Creek. That's not part of our scope.
Oh, yeah, because that's only within the bounds of the current plan. That's right, but you're right. So this is part of what's going to be part of our separate examination.
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Someone else can have questions.
Any other question? Go ahead.
Then the second item was on the rehabilitation. And we just kind of summarized what we took away as what we told you and what you heard. See if you had any additional questions. And we talked about the electrical study that we would pursue, and our electrical engineer was out there. Was it last week or week before? It was 2 weeks ago?
I think it was right after the last JPA meeting, so
right.
Yeah, a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, so 2 weeks ago, our electrical engineer was out there on site, and he's not written up his report, but his initial reaction was that the cost that my sanitary engineer, as opposed to an electrical engineer, he thought that they were on the high side, but they're not unreasonably high, they're not out of sight, but we think that when he's done, the prices will come down a little bit, but... not to hold our breath, but that we had estimated double on just on the electrical part of the rehabilitation. We had talked about the motor control centers and things like that. We discussed the status of the corrosion study, and we today expect a quote from one of the one of who will be our sub consultants, so that we can get the scope back to Bruce. We expect that today so that the corrosion study can move ahead. By the end of the month, we hope to have a scope and contract confirm Bruce. And we just want to say that we're continuing to work on the cost estimate presented in the rehab chapter, and we're currently doing an internal quality control check on the cost presented in the chapter of the final report, because again, like we told you, we were a little surprised at how high they are. So we are going back checking our numbers and making sure that if we said there are 120 valves out there, there are 120 valves out there, and we haven't put too high a cost per valve to replace them. So we are checking those numbers to make sure that the rehabilitation costs are reasonable reputations of what cost to rehabilitate the equipment. And on that, I didn't put, if I did put it in there, I didn't read it, but you also allowed us at our discretion to retire the 1953 facilities, which are currently 50 facilities may not be reasonably, may not be a good idea to rehabilitate that. Without any other questions on rehabilitation?
Is that chapter 7?
Yes.
I assume that Appendix A and Appendix B will be attached to the final report?
Yes. And what was in Appendix A and Appendix B? The cost tables on the rehab, yes. If you would like them, we can get them to you. Yeah, the detailed tables.
Anything else, Ben?
I think probably not. I just, when you do this about the rehabbing of the plant, I know that the items, this is kind of a general statement or question, these are big pieces of equipment. And so you would want to look at rehabbing something that's big rather than going out and purchasing a big new project. It's like, you know, fixing up your car engine rather than going out and buying a whole new car. You can do that cheaper. At the same time, when something is as old as this plant is, why would we even look to rehab it? Are you looking at also just what it would take to knock it down and build a whole new facility there?
Yes. In fact, that's why we put in the demolition cost for everything. We have a demolition price for every structure out there. We want to demolish the trickling filter that was built in 1983. I think that's when... 64. Okay, if we want to demolish the secondary clarifier that was built in 1986, we have a price for that we can put in our analysis, although that is one of the structures that is probably highly valuable and we would use. But we have a price to demolish it, yes.
Any other questions or comments?
I think the next one brings us to why we're here is flow and loads, and I would certainly address any questions on the methodology that we use to derive the flows and load projections. I did come over and go through the methodology with the Cayucas people, you know, to make sure they understood why, how, and, you know, anything in that on their side. We did discuss the role of the vacancy rate on the peak seasonal flow projections, or on the seasonal flow projections. And we wanted to make it clear and reiterate that vacancy rate does not play a role in the final analysis of the flow. We use the vacancy rates to help understand the annual average per capita flow that really is only used for the annual flows and for the off-season flows. But as far as the July and August flows, there is no vacancy rate applied to either city. And I just wanted to reiterate that for what we're doing, vacancy rate really doesn't matter. I just want to say that we now have the July and August flows for 2006. I got them from Bill for Cayucas. He, you know, he has those numbers. He sent them to me. I didn't have time to get them from Bruce to come up with what more bays are, but we do have Cayucas. They gave them to us, asked them to run the new numbers through the calculations. And so when I did that, the flow that we would recommend went from 0.40 MGD to 0.42 MGD. And that was because the flows in 2006 remained high, or remained, you know, near the 0.4 number, and then so that gave one more larger number to the map. So there's bumped up that, and I think we told everybody at the last meeting that before the end of this facilities plan, we would go back and revisit those numbers and make final adjustments like that. So that's what we know on more on Cayugas.
Can I ask you a quick question? You say that the flow numbers could be higher if only 2005, 2006 data are used to make those projections?
Yes.
Do you know how much higher?
Maybe 0.44. So, and that was my next one, is that the numbers for Cayugas, have steadily gone up. And if Cayugas chose to be conservative and say, hey, I only want to look at the last 2 years, then the number could even be higher. So, bottom line is, we've given Cayugas a whole bunch of numbers, and they're going to have to decide how much flow they want to buy. So that's how many chips they're throwing into the pot.
And if Morro Bay took that same approach and said, hey, we only want to look at 2005, 2006 data, ultimately, you're not talking about a huge increase in flow here. You're talking about a slight percentage incremental increase that won't affect your treatment alternative analysis.
Well, the alternative analysis will show a little higher cost because this is a 5 to 10% increase, but our estimates are plus or minus 15 to 20%. So even these 5 to 10% increases, we're still in the area of our ability to estimate the cost. But there's no question, if we go back and dial in 0.42 or a similar 5% increase, our numbers, the numbers we give to you in June in the final report, they'll be 5% higher. Yes.
And so when you say that it's plus or minus 15 or 20%, is that your cost estimates or your?
Our cost estimates.
Okay.
And do those have inflation built into them or their current figures?
They're current numbers.
I believe that all the rehabilitation costs were done for June of 2006. All of the costs in Chapter 7. And so that's what those were based on.
So we would, so good point. They would need, they would need to be bumped up for whenever they actually go out to bid. Yes. Good point.
Put this in perspective, whatever numbers we tell you to use at our next meeting on the 21st, joint meeting, you're going to take those, but you're still going to be looking at the flows that are happening now. You're still going to be looking at current information. Is that right?
Yeah.
So there's a period down the road where this could be changed slightly.
Absolutely.
Depending upon what we find out.
Yeah. And so what Corolla likes to do is put the flows and loads on the table so everyone understands what they are. And then, so you know what we're running our numbers at. We're running our numbers at 1.5 or whatever it is, so that you fully understand that. And then, in January, February, March, when we're getting ready to button everything up, we can look at them again. And if there's a 2 or 3% tweak, we can make that tweak. But we think that we hope it's just a tweak. I don't know where any other data would come from to make us change our mind, other than the city just saying we don't want that much flow. I mean, that would be a substantial change.
I just need to ask about that because
even your purview to say the last couple of years have been high. I don't want to take the risk of being short, so I want to use the last 2 years. I mean. And then we write that in the report, saying so when I say choose, I mean it's in your
the span of time that we're averaging.
Yeah, it's in your purview to say to be conservative or liberal, but if I tell you it's 0.2, if I tell you yours is between 1 million and 1.1 million or 1.2 million, if you said I want 1.6. Then someone out here, someone at the regional board is going to say, no, you've got to stay within your you know, what's reasonable for you to decide. Yeah.
So the way that it was calculated for Cayucas was one formula, and the way you formulated for Morro Bay was a different formula. Can you give us what Morro Bay's numbers would be if it was calculated the same way Cayucas is?
I mean, if you ask me to, I guess we can go find out how many connections there are. We did not do that. We felt the best information was, in fact, your population numbers. So we didn't go back and look at connections. The number will be the same. I mean, the number will be the same because we take your current flow and divide it by either the population or the current lots. Such a small community, it is very clear how many lots there are. I'm not sure if that's exactly the case. I've had to ask Bruce or Bruce if that's, or you, if that's the case in Morro Bay. I didn't go there. I was comfortable with the population.
I would, curiosity-wise, want to know what that is, because, or have Cayucas in reverse, figured out our way also, because I guess I don't have that confidence that it would come out the same, that this isn't my bailiwick, but mm-hmm. just logically it doesn't seem consistent.
Okay. Let me ask a question. Bruce, how do you feel about the totals that as far as Morro Bay is concerned?
Well, I think they're consistent with the documents that have been adopted by council over the last several years, including the sewer master plan. I think it goes back to our general plan, the water management plan. You know, we have a build out of someplace between, I think, 12,200 and 12,900. And those are the figures that are consistently used in those documents. And I believe they looked at our sewer master plan while they were formulating our population projections. And I know that Canon, when they did our alternatives analysis in March, that report was in March 2004, I think. Those numbers, the projections that Canon did, are very similar to the numbers that Corolla just produced. We've had more flow data, and the flow has come up a little bit over the last couple of years, and I'm assuming that is going to be factored in as we make the final decision. I've seen a little bit of, I've talked to Bill from CSD a little bit about their concerns on how this stuff was done, and I know that
3, 4, 5, 6 months period, there's a little tweaking that could take place. And that, in my mind, would finish it.
Yeah, and I think what you're hearing the engineer say is that even if, you know, we may be looking at a 5 or 10% tweak on those numbers based on our recent flow data, but I don't think we're seeing some huge change coming at the end of the analysis.
In light of the fact, then, that you're using those figures, in like I'm looking on page 2 of the Chapter 3 report, and it's the second paragraph, and it talks about the historical figures, and then you say, therefore, you know, we're going to go from, give an example here. So you have 409 and 416, respectively, for the BODs and the
Let me try to get on the same page.
Page 2.
Page 3, then?
Yeah, page 2.
Page 2.
Page 2 of Chapter 3.
Are we numbered differently?
That's always possible.
No, you're on the submittal letter.
Oh, that's okay. Yes, it's submittal letter.
Okay.
Page 2 of the letter. Which paragraph?
Yeah.
1, 2, BOD 420, okay.
Okay. And so that's only going up like 15 units,
is that your new people will have the same concentration of sewage. They'll have 420 milligrams per liter BOD, just like you do.
And those numbers are significantly higher than what the plant is presently designed for. Presently, we're designed for 280.
Yes.
And the historical data has shown that we have a higher concentration of BOD in suspended solids than what the engineers designed for in 1984. So these numbers are different than what the plant is currently designed for.
So is that a good thing or troublesome thing?
Well, I think it's a more realistic number to plan off of. You know, I don't know what they used in 1984 to design the plant, but the numbers certainly are higher than what they were designed for then.
Yeah, and the numbers, there is some consistency in that you have, over the last 20 years, conserved water, so there's less water in your sewers, but there's still the same amount of organic material. It's just more concentrated. So, you know, lower flow, higher concentration, so everything's right with the world on that subject. Yeah.
Any other questions? Go ahead.
So my question would then be, I the next thing is biosolids, but I kind of just wanted to, you know, at the end of the meeting tell you where we're going on that, just kind of give you a little purview. But at this time, I think, we'd like to entertain a discussion do you have any questions on, so that you can help point forward to, which is some interesting conversation.
Why don't you go ahead?
Well, okay. One item of interest is what is a violation of your flow? Okay, let's say you had a limit like we suggested of 1.45. A violation. Correct me if I'm wrong, Bruce. When Bruce reads the number, a violation would be anything over 1.455. Because you would round down.
And I think it would also be a monthly average. I don't think we're held to... There'll be a peak flow in there someplace.
Yeah, and there's no limit on that. It's just a 30-day monthly average. So your 30-day monthly average could go 50,000 gallons a day. Or is it 5,000?
That's 5,000.
5,000. Yeah, your monthly average could go 5,000 gallons a day over that 1.45 and not be a violation. So it's a rounding. No, but if at the next meeting between the two districts we came to an agreement that what we want the permit to say is, let's just pick a number, 1.5. NGD. You don't put that next number in there. Then you would have 50,000 gallons additional flow before you had a violation. Right, Bruce? For both of you. You understand? Just rules of rounding. You know, so I just want to throw that out.
Basic math.
Yes. So if we, I guess what I'm saying, if we don't micromanage exactly how much each district has, and we can round it to at least the total to a one digit past the zero, it would be beneficial for everybody.
But that's beneficial at the water board level. But between us, we want to be more exact or not. Because that's where our payments are based on.
Yeah.
I think there's two separate issues here. One issue is how the cost apportionment between the city and the district is allocated, and the other one is how do you deal with the regulatory agencies. I think the comment comes out from the fact that operations staff, and I think Bill,
and whenever you're
okay, is that from an operations standpoint, you're designing. You're at close to 80% build out for small communities. To get to 100% of build out, you're not adding a whole lot of flow. And we're used to having we're having some leeway between our permitted capacity and our actual flows. And I know that makes Bill nervous, I know that makes me nervous, that, you know, we're designing a facility probably to run at 80 or 90% from the moment you turn the key.
Mm-hmm.
and population projections indicate that we're not going to be at capacity for a long time. But if we have a extra permitted capacity when we go in there, and I hadn't thought of it that way, but I think it's a great idea.
So we can agree on a number for design and permit as a number, and then you two entities can agree on a percentage that each of you own. And the math can be whatever you want it to be. You can take that to 10 digits if you want to come up with your percentage. But I'm just suggesting that we may want to have a nice round number, and then just understand that you've negotiated a percentage of that.
Just off of something that Bruce said. Are you saying that we're designing this at 80 and 90% instead of 100%?
Well, they're designing it for 100% build out,
uh-huh.
But when you turn the key,
uh-huh.
You're already going to be at 80% because we're already at 80% of build out population.
Mm-hmm.
So you were only talking about, what, a couple hundred thousand gallons over the course of 20 years. Yeah. It's not like you're in Bakersfield or somewhere and say, well, we're going to be building an extra 2 million gallons of capacity into this thing. So when you see the facility, it pretty much is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And from an operations standpoint, like I say, you know, we just go out. Don't we get any leeway here? Can we add a little more here or there? And that's not the way.
Yeah.
It's not the way it works.
No.
Yeah. So,
and why is that? Why would the water board want to give you an
extra 200,000 gallon leeway?
Mm-hmm.
They will not do that. That would be growth inducing.
So they're
going to give the number that
mm-hmm.
the plant is designed for, and it should reflect build out, so there's no growth inducement.
And so you're planning that to make them as comfortable as you can without
mm-hmm.
the water board saying, no, that's too high.
Right. And yes. All the discussions we've had with anybody is well within the purview of what you want to do. Yeah, there's no issue. Nobody's wanting 30% more capacity just in case. You know what I'm saying. Yeah.
All right, I have a question now.
Mm-hmm.
Based upon what this committee is supposed to do here, do you want us to come up with a number that you're giving us and say we'll try to convince the other board members, or do you want us to simply say we're going to listen to you give this presentation,
mm-hmm.
which you will, at
right.
2018, right?
Right.
And then we'll try to agree on a calculated figure that you can use for work day,
and
we'll try to do the same thing.
Absolutely. I think you're correct. I mean, I think the purpose of this meeting is for you, all four of you, to be comfortable on how the calculations are done, and that, like, if Morrow Bay is consistent with all your historic planning, it might be important to stay consistent, because I've looked at it. It's reasonable. What the previous reports have done are reasonable and have used sound engineering judgment, so I have no problem with those numbers. So if you want to stay consistent, then those are good numbers. You know, I agree with them, and I check the math, and I put them in my report. You know, so if you're good with those numbers, then you're at the council meeting with as a group of the five of you, and a group of the five of you, here's what we want to grow them, build this.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I have a different question.
I haven't really heard anyone say what numbers we're actually looking at right now. In reading here, I'm looking at 1.45.
Right.
MGD.
Mm-hmm.
Peak dry weather flow.
Right.
Which currently is divided into 1044, 1,044,000 for Morrow Bay and 406,000 for Cayucas.
I think you got one more decimal point than yeah, yes. And we've rounded those, but that's correct.
Okay, then
yes.
were you suggesting that we should use a number like 1.5 rather than 1.45?
I think that would be good decision now. You know, maybe we don't have to make that decision. Maybe, and that's why I just kind of threw it out. Maybe we don't have to make that decision at the next meeting. You know, maybe the next meeting you decide what you want, and before I finalize it, I come back to the 10 of you and say, okay, you guys wanted 1.47. I would like to round it up to 1.5 for the permit. Is that okay? Maybe that's all I do.
Okay, I just wanted to clarify that.
Hey, Chair, if I understand this correctly, 2.42 MGD?
Right.
Which would be a little different.
So what I'm hoping that we leave this meeting with is more bands a number they're comfortable with, and that they can go back and recommend to the balance of their council. We can take back to our board so that when we have this next meeting, everybody's understanding and in agreement, and then only the questions that remain would be answered at that meeting. So I think we're somewhere in the ballpark, but I'd like to hear the real numbers that we should take back to
our board. I mean, the numbers on the table for Cayucas are the original number of 0.40.
Right.
The new number of 0.42,
right,
based on reflecting the 2006 numbers.
Right.
And a number as high as 0.44 if you wanted to just look at the last 2 years. If you wanted to be that, you know, that narrow in your evaluation. So you got three numbers to bouncing around.
You're the same thing with Morro Bay.
Now, Morro Bay, I haven't done any new numbers.
You're using the same ones that were in the report.
Mm-hmm.
The same ones.
Yes. Okay. Morro Bay number was 1.05 was the number that is on the table right now for Morro Bay. And that's consistent with your previous plan.
And how you got that number, just to review, is that you took the flow from not the last 2 years, but the last 5 years?
Not 2006, but yes.
The last 5 years, and then you also took the projected population based on a different formula than what Cayucas' formula was for basing population.
Yeah, I did it, yes.
Different kind of number. And then the other would be to ask you to include the last couple of years like they have rather than the 5 year, so we could have a comparison.
Include 2006. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So is that something we could get?
Well, Bruce would have to tell me to do that, and I can do that. So you've been done.
Betty, why do you want to do this? Do we have a good reason?
Well, Cayucas needs to choose. I'd like to see what the different values are and see if they are that much different to allow us to choose. Is that
they've already told us that the values are going to be pretty much the same. It just depends upon the information that Morro Bay gave to the engineering firm was based upon our population.
Mm-hmm.
Which is all the other things that we've been looking at are based on the very same criteria. Why do we change at this point? Is that a question?
And I get that part, so the population can stay, but the idea of including 2006?
Well, that's a different question.
Yeah, well, I asked both questions. So I'd like to see us look at that figure, too, and see if ours has gone up or down, to see if we need to consider that.
That's not difficult.
No, that's not difficult. Bruce,
you want to run the numbers just the way you came up with 0.40 for Cayucas to begin with, and you've given them an option of 0.42 or 0.44. If you'll run those numbers the same way and email those numbers to me, so then at least we can, I think, I mean, just looking at it, the percentage difference isn't, what, a 10% increase or something on the high end and about 5% on the other end at 0.42. So it's going to be, my guess is we're going to be pretty consistent with Cayucas' numbers there.
Right. Yeah, that's easy to do. Happy to do that.
Recrunch the numbers. They're not going to come back and go, oh, well, you can't build that facility because you added 42,000 gallons. You guys are going to have to change some numbers in a spreadsheet and go, hey, your design costs are going to go up a little bit.
Yeah.
So I'm comfortable using 1.05 to begin with, knowing that we can revisit that subject.
And I understand all that. And I'm glad that we're comfortable, but I think it's okay for us to ask for the same information that Cayucas gives. And that's why I'm asking.
And that's easy to do. I'm happy to do it.
And then I have one other question. I don't know if this is the time to do it or not, but it's been a few days since I read this. But as I recall, that you take into consideration the flow part, not only the highest day of use, which is around July 4th,
But there's a winter factor because of the influence of the rain that impacts the
right.
system. And so can you just talk about that for a minute? Do you take both those numbers into consideration, or how does that work?
In designing the treatment plant, I absolutely look at your winter conditions and make darn sure that I can, that Bruce and Bill's comfortable that you can get that through the treatment plant out into the ocean. Absolutely. But there is no permit condition on that. There is no violation. You know, if you pump 100 million gallons a day for some reason, there is no violation.
And so when you're talking this, you're assuming the secondary treatment, which means we would still use the ocean. And at some point, we talked about going partial tertiary. And so where does that start to come in?
That would come in when, as simple as it sounds, but I try to avoid that.
Well, I think we've all expressed it. You know, some level of comfort on these figures or anything else that you want.
Yeah, I had one other interesting thing is the mandatory fines. I just wanted to suggest something that it would not go into the discussions on the permit that we're negotiating now, but it would go into the next one in 5 years when we do the next one, is that right now the flow limit is listed under paragraph B, which is effluent limitations. It's paragraph B, effluent limitations, that trigger the mandatory fines. Many of the permits I've seen and negotiated, they put the flow limit ahead of that in provision in paragraph A, which is provisions. Prohibitions. And the things in the prohibitions say you shouldn't allow any bad water in your sewer, you know, just the general common sense things. And if we could put your flow limit up under prohibitions, then if we went over whatever number it is, it would not trigger a mandatory. And I think we can be successful in getting the regional board to do that. Now the reason is, number one, is you won't have items like BOD, suspended solids. Theoretically, if that gets over the limit, you've done some damage. You put a pollutant out there in a higher concentration than the environment can accept. But if you just go with a little bit more flow and you meet all of the concentration requirements, then there is no nexus that you have caused damage to the environment. So that allows them to move it out of that section if they want to use their discretion. And I think we should ask for it. That way we get Bruce out from under the mandatory fine on the flows Now, the regional board can still fine you. They haven't given up their ability to fine you, but it's not mandatory. And I think that's something that we should pursue.
And we'll look at that down the road.
Yeah, in 5 years, yeah.
Anything else on item B?
Can I follow up on what you just said for a minute? If those are under secondary treatment, they're requiring us to go to secondary, but if we actually go to tertiary or partial tertiary, do we have different standards to meet rather than at secondary?
No.
Okay.
No, if they asked, if they suggested that, I would go kicking and screaming. No, we want the standards for your discharge to the ocean to be the numbers consistent with secondary. And if you want to produce tertiary, that's your option. Yeah.
Okay.
To do better. Yeah.
Anything else? Thank you. Really, you were commenting on item C.
Either putting out an RFP or tapping Corolla to do that work for us. And I believe at the JPA meeting it was referred back to this committee. So I was hoping that maybe Susan Slayton, our finance director, and maybe Bonnie could provide a little more insight. We're kind of
considering outside my area of comfort. So I've given some information that Mr. Stringfield provided us concerning Pismo Beach and how they prepared their financial plan. So with that, I'll turn it over to Susan.
Thank you. One of the things that I talked to Bruce about was that it would be most expeditious of us to continue with Corolla. They've had experience in this area, the fact that they're familiar with the plant design, and they've already been, you know, they've been working with the two groups. I think that would probably be the best way to go with the financial end of it. I know that I've been exploring some of the things that are out there, mostly the state revolving fund. Bruce had indicated to me that Pismo had received a 0% loan. I did talk to George Eds at the finance director at Pismo, who told me that the reason they got the 0% loan was they did pay 1/6 of the loan cost. So they did have an initial, I think it was a little, he was looking it up, but it was a little over $2 million that they put down on the project, financed the rest at 0%. And it is an option with the state revolving fund. So we may be able to look at something along that line that won't carry an interest component. There's a lot out there, and I know that Corolla would have some good.
Every time it becomes appropriate, I think we can look to her office to help maybe also. But it would, of course, it would take about a year to get the money once we talk to them.
Yes. Once we get a project defined and we have the project outlined, then we can go look for financing, and we have to get some consensus on the project. Then we can go look for financing. And at that point, we can contact the federal government. We can contact the, you know, like I said, the state revolving fund. And maybe some Prop 50 grant money will be available then. Who knows? It, right now, I don't believe it is. But that's something that we can explore.
My question, I guess, is at what point on our timeline do we have to come up with a plan?
We were supposed to start the solicitation now, last month actually, and if we continue at the pace we're going, we will be ahead of schedule. So what that means is we really should get going on the revenue program now if it's your choice not to allow that to end up being a little bit behind, if you will. So I would recommend you go ahead with it now if you know, it looks like we're going to stay on the pace we're going. Am I correct, Bruce? Because we're on a pretty darn good pace.
That's correct. The time schedule that was adopted, based on the schedule that we have on the facilities plan right now, the schedule that we have circulated at recent meetings calls for you to make an alternative selection, I think, in April or May of next year. So basically late spring of next year, if we can keep on the schedule that we're going, and it seems like we're making good progress on this so far, you're going to be about 6 months ahead of the actual adopted schedule, which means if you want all the little lines and arrows to keep converging where they're supposed to on the critical tasks, follow that path, you're going to have to bump back the financial plan a little bit. And I think the same would probably be true for the CEQA process as well. The environmental review is the faster you move through the process, you have to move everything back to coincide if you want to keep all those tasks going at the same time.
Well, then the question is, what does this committee have to do, the four of us, in terms of a recommendation or to get this on the agenda?
Well, that's a good. That's one of my questions. Is do we want to put it on? Do we want to put the preparation of the financial plan on the agenda for the JPA meeting? Are we in a position that we're ready to do that? I keep hearing from. I think I heard it from the sanitary district that they want to discuss this issue at subcommittee level before taking it back to the full body. And I don't know if I'm correct, and I thought I'd listen to the tape again, and I keep
That is correct.
That's definitely correct.
Okay, the option here was that we sole source to Korea, or we go out to bid. Is that the question that's on the table?
I believe that's one of the questions.
Okay, and the comment that I heard was Morro Bay was comfortable, or the recommendation was to stay with Corolla on this?
I don't think we made that comment yet, but...
Well, I kind of heard that from the finance director saying, where'd she go? that would be, easier to facilitate or something to that effect?
Yes, I believe it would if we stayed. It would be for consistency. The fact that they know the two groups and they know what's going on with the plan, they've already worked so much with the plan. So I thought that would be probably the best plan as opposed to going out with an RFP to get another group to come in and work on the financial plan and have to have them go through all of the same, machinations that Corolla's already gone through.
And I'd be willing to make that recommendation for us to the city council.
Okay.
I need a clarification. I'm hearing that this is a two-part thing that we're talking about, the plant itself, how to pay for it, which we can't do because we don't have a design. So what we're looking at right now is how to pay for the Vieta rigs. Is that right?
That if I can answer that is correct. You Morro Bay did a preliminary. It's not really, we did a phase one rate study that used hard numbers for the near term projects and soft numbers based on our best engineering judgment for long term projects. Did a rate study and bumped their rates up to get you going, to cover those first projects. And then, in fact, really, we just tonight are turning in phase two, which uses the final numbers in the facilities plan and actually about 60% design. We now have hard numbers, what we consider hard numbers, to tweak their rates to account for what is actually in the treatment plan. So in your case, we might do a regular program now with soft numbers on it, get your rates ramped up however you want to ramp them up, and then come back and maybe look at them at the end of the facilities plan, tweak it, and then maybe in 4 years when we go out to construction, we tweak it again, just so your rates being adjusted.
But when we're talking about that, Cayucas will have its own rate schedule. We'll have our own rate schedule, so it's really not a joint item.
That's correct.
Okay. So is this really a discussion for the JPA then?
I think the reason it's a discussion with the JPA is when we go to the SRF, we'll go as joint revenue programs, but then somebody has to put those together in an application for whatever funding we go for, SRF or something. So some financial person has to meld them together to make the presentation to borrow the money.
And is a precursor to settling the rates, knowing how we're going to divvy up the flows, 40, 60, 25, 75, do we need to know that first before we figure out the rates?
We can use a preliminary number. I mean, if we want to use, I don't know, 25, 75, it's all done on a spreadsheet. So if we use 25, 75, and came back to be 23, 78, it'd be fairly easy to make. Again, we're again talking small tweaks. So it might be 15 cents on your rate, the tweak. So I don't. It's not enough of a change that would substantially change the rates that we recommended.
I guess the part that I don't get is why do we do it twice? Why do we do it soft numbers and then do it hard numbers later? Because then we're paying you twice. Why don't we just do it once?
We're doing it twice because you have a need for a loan for your sewer system. Mm-hmm. That's what's part of what's driving it now. And if we go ahead and do it with what I call soft numbers, then you as a board will have numbers that the constituents will say, well, how is this going to affect my rates? We actually have those numbers right now, and we don't.
Any other questions?
I just want to clarify, we're talking about how to pay for the treatment plant versus who's to pay. I believe the ugly word here, Bruce likes to keep throwing it out, is apportionment. Isn't that something you mentioned at the last meeting, that's going to be on our schedule soon?
Well, I raised that issue for the facilities plan at the last meeting, just to keep pushing the elephant back out into the room. And at some point, we're going to have that discussion, because as we get more firm on numbers that don't jive with the existing JPA, some of that stuff has to flesh out, and we have to say, okay, this is what we think we should pay, and this is what you think you should pay, and that discussion has to occur at some point, and I'm assuming it may occur at this subcommittee in the beginning. I really don't know how it's going to happen. I'm assuming the attorneys are going to be in the room when we have that conversation as well. So they seem to like those words as well.
Mr. Rance, why wouldn't we have that conversation before we do our financial plan?
Well, that's what I'm alluding to here is this the apportionment issue a necessary part of this revenue rate plan at this time?
Can I just make one comment? And when we started the time schedule, task one was initially this initial coordination between the city and the district, and we kind of deferred that task to a later date so that we could start the facilities plan and get the ball rolling, because we have been under the gun to try and push this project along. I don't know if it has to occur. Susan, to help me out, and then talk to Bonnie a little bit, because I really get confused when we get into this area as to how, what exactly our next step is in this process. I just know that every day I walk in my office and I look at the time schedule and I say, oh, August 1st, we're doing the financial plan. And so, and that's why I keep pushing the button, is that, we are on, the project is going to become more complex as we get into it, and we need to keep everybody focused on the task that we need to work through.
May I make a suggestion? This ties right in with the next section on our agenda, D, consideration of scheduling agenda items for our next subcommittee meeting. Let's simply do that. Can we agree, the four of us, that we should take this item up? We need a staff report. We need input from both sides. And we need to find a date to do it.
Let me separate that. The original question was, do we want this issue of the rate revenue plan on the agenda? My feeling is absolutely yes, we do. See it on the next agenda. The other one is, what is the scope of the revenue rate plan? Does it include the issue of apportionment? So perhaps what we'd like to see is, what is the scope of this revenue rate plan so that we can discuss it at the next JPA meeting? And as far as recommending Carollo as
we're supposed to have staff reports out by tomorrow. I'm a little confused as to what exactly we're bringing back at this meeting. I mean, what exactly is it, an action item? Is it an informational item? Then that's kind of where my confusion has reigned throughout this whole process, is I don't really know what we're doing. I know what I think we need to do, but I don't know how to do it.
I'm anticipating right now you would, in the agenda packet, would be the scope of the work that would be involved in the revenue rate plan. We might discuss that as a group, have different opinions on it, that you will have to address how far we go on the apportionment issues. Then I think that we need to start, even if that's not a part of the revenue rate plan, it is time to start on what the apportionment issues are.
Thank you.
so certain. I that we can bring that back in 2 days.
Why? Let me make a comment.
Yeah, I have a question, if I might.
Go ahead.
If we sole source the financial plan, then obviously the timeline is speeded. I mean, that part is fairly immediate because we're not doing an RFP process, which takes a number of months. Is there any way, there was a price obviously established for the financial plan for the treatment plant upgrade. Is there a way, say Corolla was to get it, since we have preliminary needs to include our sewer systems, could we just cut to the chase and at the same time you address each community's preliminary and each community pays?
What we call the phase one report will have our best estimate of the treatment plant cost in it, and we will allocate it to your users negotiating with you. So it will have it in it. I'm just saying that it would be a soft number that, you know, that we would go back when we had a firm number in a year or 2 years and tweak it. You know, if we decided to do, you know, if the, you know, inflation killed us and the numbers are twice as big, or if, you know, as a board, they chose to go a small job or chose to go a very large job, then we would tweak it when we had better numbers. But you got what you need to get your sewer going. You know, that's the main thing. But yeah, it would have both projects in it allocated. And then in 2 years, we just change the number for the treatment plan.
Right. The point I'm trying to make is we're at a juncture where we have to look at our rates anyways.
Right.
So what I'm saying is, could that all be bundled in? I mean, if you're going to be on this in 3 or 4 months, then it seems to me if I just say, by the way, here's my hard cost for my sewer projects,
it'll be in it.
And then you run with that and add the soft number for the waste. It just seems like we're so close to maybe kicking this off. Why would I go out and get a separate study for my near-term project?
I'm sorry. Everything I'm hearing, I will put the sewer projects in the rate study. I will put your sewer projects in the rate study. Yes. Yeah, so
the project is there, but the rate studies can happen independently. So that's something that Cayucas will take care of and Morro Bay will take care of independent of each other. That was one.
That is correct. And then at some point, if you sole source me to do it, I will add up yours, add up theirs, how you're going to pay for it. I will take that bundle to the, you know, to the SRF or to the infrastructure loan bank or to revenue. You know, I will have a melded bundle that shows how we're going to pay for the treatment plan.
Let me make a comment again, Robert. My original comment was that I'm hearing that maybe we don't have enough time to get this item on the next agenda, the 21st. And I was thinking that we would simply put it on our next subcommittee agenda. The four of us talk about it, try to come to some resolution or something that we can recommend, and then take it to the joint board meeting, which would be the one in October.
Tentatively right now, your meeting schedule calls for a meeting September 21st, and then we kind of have an interim period until December where Corolla doesn't bring anything back to us. We don't have a meeting per se in October or November. Certainly we could schedule one. My recommendation was going to be that if we're in agreement that Corolla is a good choice for what we're doing, and it sounds like both the district and the city are kind of that mindset, that maybe we just take a month and bring the issue back in October, I think is kind of...
Negotiations with Corolla, just that simple. Is that, in that way, you could come back and...
Yeah, I think we could put something together. We might not be able to get that in the packet till maybe Thursday or Friday morning, but I can certainly start putting something together today.
Okay, is that agreeable with you?
That would be the authorization to negotiate, and then do you bring, are you
still anticipating that you'd bring that back to the subcommittee and then go to a JPA meeting, or?
Bring it back to subcommittee first.
Okay, that would be
October.
An October JPA meeting?
We would have to schedule an October JPA meeting.
Okay.
And if we're going to do, if you're bringing the financial plan back to the subcommittee, maybe we bring back cost apportionment, or at least
put it on the table.
Put it on the table and say, hey, we got to start talking about it.
Okay, so for the September 21st meeting, we want to just discuss the revenue rate plan and the concept of solar.
Yeah.
Do you want to take action?
I think the item would be to consider and authorize staff to enter into negotiations with Corolla for a financial plan.
Is that authorizing you to sign a contract with them and go ahead, or?
I think we would negotiate a contract, and then we would come back and award a contract at a later, like maybe in October.
And we have to approve it.
Okay, very good.
Now, can we look at a date in October then for a technical subcommittee meeting?
October, and if it involves our legal counsel, I think he's not here the whole first half of October.
So the 26th would be a better date.
The 26th of October.
Yeah.
So then we would not have a JPA meeting in October. We'd have one in early November.
That would be the JPA meeting in October on the 26th. Now we're going to go back and prior to this set up a possible technical subcommittee meeting beforehand. Okay.
Yeah, that works for me.
Okay. So we got the 26th down as JPA, and then going back, is the 16th soon enough to for the tech meeting to meet, and then you can do something about the agenda for the JPA, or we need to go back further?
No, that's fine.
16th? That's on a Monday.
Is there a city council meeting that day?
No.
Planning commission.
Planning commission. Okay, let's go to Tuesday. 17th.
I'm on vacation then too.
But when will you be back?
I think I'm back by the 19th or 20th.
And when do you leave?
The 5th.
How much lead time do you have, Bruce?
Well, if you want packets out a week in advance, you've got to give us at least a couple days to churn out a staff report. So it's got to be 9 or 10 days.
Can you meet without Bonnie?
Yes.
So we're back at
Tuesday, 17th.
Okay. Tech meeting.
Yes. 9 o'clock.
Some sort of cost apportionment discussion.
Yeah. Dialogue. Yeah. And we'll have to firm up these dates, of course, with the entire board at the next meeting.
No, I just need to get together with Bonnie and Bill, I think, after the meeting to talk about the JPA agenda for this meeting.
Anyone else?